I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Loom, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors took down the New Orleans Pelicans by a score of 130-122 in overtime on ring night. And a lot went into this game. It was a very exciting game, obviously, with the circumstances being, you know, the Raptors' first ever ring ceremony, the first banner being unveiled. They just actually took that down behind me about 5 minutes ago. But yeah, there's a lot going on. Definitely a huge amount of energy and excitement before the game for the procession in terms of, you know, the players getting the rings, Masai coming out to MVP chants, Nick Nurse coming out to a roar from the crowd, Van Vliet getting his name chanted, Kyle Lowry getting his name chanted, huge, huge cheers for Serge Ibaka, Marc Gasol, and Pascal Siakam. The rings, of course, they looked amazing. Like, I mean, the replica rings even looked pretty good, that they were handing them out all around the arena here, but the actual rings themselves, apparently they're the biggest rings in NBA history, which apparently Kyle Lowry put in a request, and what Kyle Lowry wants, Kyle Lowry gets from this organization. So obviously tons and tons and tons of excitement. The banner looks amazing. First off, huge important announcement. They finally took down the Atlantic Division banners, which, you know, it was okay before, kind of. It was okay before because the Raptors don't have a lot of history. And, you know, it was like, fine, we can celebrate at least this one thing. But honestly, after they had gone to the Eastern Conference Finals and after they had gone through all these playoff runs, it just didn't really even make sense to hang these Atlantic Division banners. So the Raptors actually finally took those down. They actually consolidated all of them into one banner. So it just says Atlantic Champions, and then it has the years in which they won, like 2007 and 2014, 2015, 2016, and so on and so forth. But yeah, they took that down. They have NBA champions up there now, and it looks beautiful, honestly. It actually fits the Raptors color scheme. Like, you got this, the gold, you got the black, you got the white, and you got the red. Like, it's almost like the Raptors were meant to be champions. So tons of excitement before the game. And then, of course, the game itself, I mean, honestly, it lived up to all the hype in terms of, okay, look, there was no Zion, and the Pelicans obviously would be a lot better with Zion. But having said that, the Pelicans were still very competitive. They put up a great fight. They got a lot of deep, they have a very deep team, and they got a lot of performances from their bench. And honestly, it took not the best out of the Raptors, considering I don't think the Raptors played their best today, but it took some very heroic efforts from the likes of Pascal Siakam, who, after signing his max deal and some people having a bit of sticker shock with how much it was worth in terms of $130 million over 4 years, it's like, whoa, that's a lot of money. But, man, when you get 34 points, 18 rebounds, 5 assists in 38 minutes, I don't know. That screams max to me. That definitely screams max to me. Pascal was balling tonight, man. He was incredible. Nobody could really stop him. He played with the confidence that, like, we know that Pascal is confident. We know that, you know, Sorry about the bleachers in the background. But we know Pascal is confident. We know he can get a shot. We know he can score. We saw that last season. But to the extent in which he needs to be the number one option, honestly, this is one of his most impressive performances to his to date in his career, because there's a lot of the stuff that he was creating for himself. Even last year, like when he had the 44-point game, which was a career high against the Wizards last year, a lot of that was like derived after, like, you know, broken plays, transition plays, plays where in the half court somebody set up Pascal to score. You know, that's a little bit different from, you know, today, where Pascal did most of his scoring creating his own offense. The Raptors really featured Pascal, which is something, if you listen to the preseason podcast, that's a bit of a concern of mine, in terms of I just didn't think the Raptors treated Pascal like a number one guy. They didn't really look to make sure he had the ball in the spots that he liked and then cleared out for him. But today, they definitely allowed Pascal to get his touches. And, you know, there's a couple of wonky moments early on. You know, the jumper wasn't necessarily falling. And, you know, his spin move into the layup, you know, he was kind of getting contested and challenged on those. Whatever, it's clear that the scouting report's out on him. But sort of as the game went on, Pascal just grew in confidence. And he just started, especially in that third quarter, he just hit a rhythm and stride in which, man, he was really, really impressive. He got to the free throw line 11 times, which I think is actually a great sign, because – you know, to be a volume scorer, especially without three-pointers being a main component of your game, you're going to need to get to the free throw line. And Pascal obviously has an ability to draw contact. He obviously takes a lot of contact on his drives. Honestly, he could get more calls, but, you know, I'll take 11 free throws. But yeah, it was just amazing to see him cook, you know, like whether that was Brandon Ingram guarding him, you know, Slenderman versus Slenderman. I think Pascal has the advantage there. Whether that's Derek Favors, you know, challenging, and he didn't actually play most of the game, Derek Favors. Maybe I think he might have gone down with an injury, but still, when Pascal was matched up on him, Favors, you know, couldn't really handle him off the dribble. What was actually really impressive to me was that Pascal got Drew Holiday switched on him. And, if you know, obviously Holiday is a lot shorter than Pascal. Pascal is about 6'9". Drew Holiday is about 6'3". But, you know, Drew Holiday is a tough son of a bitch. Like, he is just a really, really gritty player. I've always really respected Drew Holiday and the way he plays. And especially defensively, he's amazing. He's a little bit like Kyle Lowry in the sense that even though he's smaller, he's really good at guarding the bigger guys. But Pascal actually handled Drew Holiday quite well in terms of, you know, going to the post move, backing him down, making sure that Drew Holiday couldn't poke the ball free. And Pascal was just able to get a shot and rise up and get to his spots. And just overall, it was an excellent performance from Pascal, especially from the fact that, you know, he supplied the kind of energy that the rest of the team necessarily weren't matching. Like, if you look at the other bigs in the lineup, Serge Ibaka in 26 minutes got you 3 defensive rebounds. Marc Gasol in 32 minutes, that's including overtime, got you 3 defensive rebounds. Pascal by himself got 12. And rebounding is a big issue for the Raptors. Like, they need to make sure that they secure the boards. They don't really have that sort of Kawhi-like presence who can just come in and snag everything. Pascal's probably the closest one to it, but of course you need Pascal off of the transition game. So I really appreciate the fact that Pascal had 18 rebounds, man. I mean, like, a lot of the offensive rebounds, he was falling on his own miss, whatever, but still, 18 rebounds is a lot of energy. And so I thought Pascal really stepped up to the plate. To be honest, the only time Pascal didn't actually look like a franchise player tonight was when the referees were officiating him, because his fifth and sixth fouls were both just complete BS. On the fifth one, Pascal closed out to the corner in transition. Kenrich Williams of the Pelicans kicked his leg out, and it was pretty blatant, honestly. I could see it when it was happening. The referees called a foul on Pascal, which was his fifth, and Williams went to the line and hit 3 free throws. And then when they showed it on the Jumbotron, it was very, very apparent that Kenrich Williams had kicked his leg out, and that should be an offensive foul, not a defensive foul. So that was a huge swing. And then after that, you know, late in the fourth quarter there, Pascal runs a pick and roll with OG Anunoby, and what's his name? JJ Redick comes out and steps in and tries to trap Pascal. But then Redick kind of just, like, flops shamelessly. Like, it's very, very clear that he just flops. And somehow Pascal gets called for a sixth foul, and he's fouled out of the game. And that's very, very late in the fourth quarter there. And that was with the game in, you know, in the balance there. You cannot foul out of like, you cannot foul out a max player on such a weak call. And you know what actually made that play, that Redick flop, so infuriating was that on the previous possession, when the Raptors were on defense, Fred VanVleet essentially did the same thing and took a charge, and he fell over. There was no foul call on the play. The Raptors had to scramble. The Pelicans got a shot out of it. And then coming on the same, it's the same thing, and then Pascal gets called. So that was unfortunate, but overall, that was an amazing performance of Pascal. Really did answer some of the questions surrounding his performance. Obviously, to be a max guy, you got to do this night in and night out. Maybe not 34 and 18. He doesn't need to be, I don't know, like prime Wilt Chamberlain, but honestly, if Pascal gives you like a solid 23, 24 a night with 10 rebounds and 5 assists, like he's easily going to an all-NBA team. And, you know, if you actually read my predictions column tonight that I put out this morning, I predicted that Pascal is going to be third team all-NBA. Honestly, after seeing a game like this, he might even be second team. Like that second team might not be out of the question for Pascal. So, a very, very nice showing from Pascal. And the 5 assists is also quite nice, too, because he really needs to play make for others. Right there, step for step with Pascal, was Fred VanVleet, who also had 34 points of his own in 44 minutes. This was just such a gutsy performance from Fred. Not only in the sense that, you know, he was able to, you know, create offense in crunch time. We know that he is one of the clutchest players in the league and definitely the clutchest player on the Raptors. We know that Fred can explode for these kind of outings, especially when he plays alongside Kyle Lowry. Fred got the start today. He was obviously very good. But it was very gutsy in the sense that, man, like, Fred banged into a cameraman late in the third quarter. He had to check out of the game, went to the locker room to get checked out. Now, he came back into the game. Didn't seem like there was too big of a problem. But, like, before he had, you know, went down on that knock, Fred was just killing him. He was torching everybody, man. Like, it was actually, it was shocking. I had to rub my eyes and see, like, are we sure that's not Kyrie Irving out there? Like, what's going on? Like, Fred, I mean, geez, like, Fred was just incredible. Like, some of the spinning layups that he was doing, I just, you know, like, you've seen it happen before, but I don't think we've seen the combination of Fred having a clean bill of health, and, you know, with that comes a very, very quick first step, and he was able to use that to repeatedly elude his defender. But also, I think it's just nice to see Fred be able to execute everything in his mind, because there's a lot of times when Fred goes to the rim in previous seasons, the man gets blocked a lot. He's 6 foot tall. He's not really jumping that much. He's obviously not dunking. Like, he's going to get blocked a lot of the times. But, you know, today he was very crafty, was really good at using the off arm to sort of get separation. And then he was very good at just, you know, banking shots in from very difficult angles. And I'm not saying he's going to, like, have a 34-point performance every night. He's not going to be this efficient nightly, but, you know, this is also not a surprise. Like, he was doing this in preseason. Like, I've been telling everybody, Fred VanVleet had been the Raptors' best player in preseason. He was definitely on the verge of a breakout year. In my predictions column, I said Fred was going to outscore Kyle Lowry this season. That doesn't even seem that bold nowadays, because the way Kyle's shooting versus the way Fred's shooting is just night and day. Fred is money. Kyle, a little bit erratic, but nevertheless, Fred was incredible tonight, man, and super gritty, because he fought through that ankle injury. You know, Nick Nurse talked about it after the game. He was like, well, you know, honestly, I thought about keeping Fred on the bench, but then I put him back in the game, and I ran some clutch plays for him, and Fred, of course, he delivered. You know what I mean? Like, one play that was really, really pretty to see in real time was about a minute left in the game, Raptors down 3. They run a hammer action where Kyle runs a high pick and roll on one side of the floor, and on the other side, Fred goes from the wing and ducks into the corner, and Marc Gasol sets a little you know, pin down screen to sort of get Fred open in the corner. Kyle then, you know, drives a lane, kicks it out to the corner. It's actually a play LeBron used to run all the time with the Cavaliers, and I know this because you know, I mean, Kyle Korver and J.R. Smith got so many threes in those playoffs. It really hurts me to talk about this right now, but yeah, I mean, perfect execution. You know, Kyle finds Fred in the corner. Marc Gasol effectively screens Jrue Holiday, who is erased from the play. Fred, of course, nails a three, and it forces, well, it doesn't force overtime at that point, but, you know, at least it ties the game, and the Raptors then eventually go to overtime. So that was a great set design, and of course, Fred came through in the clutch as well with a couple more shots. I mean, Fred, just an amazing, amazing player overall. Kyle Lowry, obviously, today also very good in the sense that, you know, you can't argue with the total production, like 22 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 45 minutes. That's very, very good. The only thing I would really pick at today with Kyle is just, like, I just don't think he's very sharp. Like, this looked a lot like that Brooklyn game where he's taking shots and he's searching more than he's trying to actually confidently go up and rise for the shot. I think it's clear that he's rusty. Kyle said himself at Media Day that he's about a month behind in his conditioning. And with the way he was sort of charging into the lane and sort of like not really getting enough legs into some of his shots, the conditioning is going to be a question. And I think that, his percentages are going to suffer because of it. Today he shot 4-15 from the field, 3-11 from deep. That's not very good. But what Kyle does is what, I mean, this is what Kyle does every time. He finds a way. Kyle finds a way. And today, the way Kyle was able to get through this game was to get to the free throw line. He went to the free throw line 13 times, shot 11 free throws. That's got to be – I don't even think last season he got to 13 at all in the playoffs or in the regular season. But Kyle was just relentless in terms of driving the lane. I don't think the Pelicans, admittedly, I don't think they're a very good defensive club. Like, they're a little bit sloppy. They're a little bit weak. You can really drive inside and finish. There's not a lot of shot blocking with the guys like – Derek Favors in the middle or Jahlil Okafor. He had a nice end to the last season, but I don't really think he's actually a consistent guy. Or this new dude, Niccolò Melli. I don't want to sound like Marv Albert, who called him Mel for most of the game before he switched to Melli. Marv, man, come on. This man's just old, man. He's a little past his prime right now. But, Kyle was able to get into the lane. He was able to draw fouls. He's able to create contact, force the issue. And this is what Kyle does. On a night where he doesn't shoot well, and the team needs him, he creates in other ways. And I credit him for that. He actually also ran the Raptors' offense in crunch time, especially when Pascal went out. And there were some hit or miss moments. Like, there's times where Kyle pulled up for three, and I'm like, that's just not a shot we need to be getting right now. We should be playing through Fred. We should be playing through other options. But in overtime, Kyle consistently created opportunities for the Raptors, and, he's the biggest reason why the Raptors were able to pull through in overtime. So, huge performance from Kyle. And I got to say as well, OG Anunoby had an amazing game. Just a really, really good game. I mean, if this was what we got out of OG Anunoby every night, I'd be thrilled. And I think the coaching staff would be thrilled as well. Like, OG today, 11.7 rebounds in 36 minutes, 5 of 12 shooting, 1 of 4 from deep. That doesn't sound that great, but it's the defense, man. It's the defense. Like, he made three clutch defensive sequences that I can recall from the fourth quarter alone, where, one, he rotates the basket just in time to sort of block a player driving in for a layup. That's just pure instincts. That's just knowing the game. That's understanding the scheme, and obviously a great athletic play to sort of block shots. I mean, like, I always thought OG should block more shots. Like, he's 6'8". He's got like a Kawhi level wingspan. Like, he should, if he has good timing and he has obviously strength and he has leaping ability, he should block some shots. And that was a big block at that time. I think it was maybe on Josh Hart or someone like that. There's another sequence shortly thereafter where the Pelicans were able to break down the Raptors' defense by slipping the ball to the rolling big man. I think it was Okafor who was driving the lane there. And OG, again, very timely rotation, gets into position, takes the charge square in the chest, forces the turnover. Another huge, huge defensive possession. And then on the last possession of regulation after the Raptors – well, not the last possession, actually. The last Pelicans possession of in terms of regulation, Drew Holiday gets the ball with a full shot clock, tries to go at OG Anunoby a couple times, doesn't really work. OG forces Holiday into jumping into the air and then sort of throwing a bailout pass to sort of reset. The pass goes back to Holiday. OG sticks with Holiday, and Holiday doesn't even get a good look off. And I was just super impressed because for most of the game, Holiday was, I would say the most difficult assignment in the sense that, we know what Reddick can do. He's going to move around. He's going to say things he apparently doesn't mean. He's going to, step into shots and, whatever. He's an amazing shooter. He's going to get his points. And you kind of know what Brandon Ingram's going to do, too. Like, he's a very talented scorer, and he's physically very, very unique. So he's going to be able to get a shot off over a lot of guys. But Drew Holiday is a guy on this team, especially with Zion out, that he is going to be the most creative player on the team. He's going to be the player that initiates most of their offense, and he's a guy who can really get buckets. Like, he's a really tough dude, and OG just shut him down, man. I mean, like, it wasn't just OG. Pascal also took possessions on Drew Holiday. So the fact that the Raptors two young guys were able to shut down collectively shut down the opposing team's best player is very impressive. But the fact that Drew Holiday had 13 points on 6 of 15 shooting, 1 of 6 from 3, and five turnovers. Like, man, OG did an amazing job defensively. So I really want to give OG some credit. But, you know, overall, it was a fun game, definitely an exciting game. I mean, I've covered most of the positives. In terms of the negatives, I would say that I don't think Norm was very good. he did, you know, have a layup in overtime, and he sort of filled in for Pascal, and he did pretty good defensively on that end. But I don't know. I found him a little bit underwhelming in terms of his offense. Like, in 29 minutes, most of his utility in the basketball game is scoring, and he gave you 5 points on 2 of 7 shooting in 29 minutes, so that's not great. I thought Serge came in his first shift completely invisible. I don't think he plays that well against, like, with Gasol. Against teams that are going to have, like, 5 shooters on the floor, that doesn't really make sense to go big in those situations. And I also thought that, you know, out of everyone else, like, the Raptors as a collective just did not come out strong. I think the emotions of ring night kind of got to them a little bit. Like, you get rings, you get the trophy, you get the banner, and then you have, like, 10 minutes to then get yourself steeled up to, like, compete against world-class athletes. So, you know, it wasn't a surprise to me that the Raptors fell down 15-4 after, like, 4 minutes. And they were making tons of mistakes, like letting Redick get open in transition and, you know, not boxing out and not rotating and things like this. So there was it was a very emotional night. And I honestly thought that, you know, Serge, being such an emotional guy himself, he really is a player that plays on confidence. I thought his first shift was just completely underwhelming, and I think sort of the moment got to him. But as the game went on, he really did impose himself on the game. You know, he crashed the glass for putbacks. He finished in the lane. There's one play where he had like 4 guys around him and he still finished, which, you know, maybe pass it out, but also, you know, impressive that he finished, and he was fine. You know, he ultimately ended up closing out part of overtime. Mark, I gotta say, was probably the biggest negative for me from this game, just because, man, he just looked real old. Like, he gave us a classic Chuck Hayes performance tonight, like 6 points, 4 rebounds, you know. He, for the longest time in regulation, his only basket was a banked in 3 from the top of the key. And, you know, I would say that's a bit lucky there. Wasn't that effective defensively. Didn't, you know, wasn't as that mobile. And definitely didn't contribute on the defensive glass, which is really a big problem, because you kind of need him to get you rebounds. Like, the Pelicans got 16 offensive rebounds tonight. That's not going to cut it if you're going to be a defensive juggernaut, which the Raptors can be, but they need to secure rebounds. And Gasol today, 3 rebounds, at least defensive rebounds in 32 minutes. That's very, very disappointing from a center. And I just think overall, like, Mark just looks, I don't know, man. I guess it's not surprising. He just looks really taxed, right? He played deep into the playoffs. Obviously, went to the, you know, won the finals and everything like that. Great time. Marc Gasol, huge contributions. And then he went, like, pretty much straight to play for Team Spain and played all over the world and stuff like that. So, yeah, the man's going to be tired. I don't know what to say. I think, you know, he's going to need a little bit of time to sort of catch his rhythm and find his flow. And, you know, he's not going to be quick. He's not going to be athletic. But, you know, he's obviously big and he knows how to play and he can find his touch again. But even honestly, even just watching him shooting, like, pregame and stuff like that, like, he was shooting, like, 25% in, like, just the warm-up drills and stuff. And I was like, man, this is not going to look up. It's not shaping out to be a good game for Gasol. And obviously it translated to his performance on the court. But that's just something to look for, of course. And then the other negative I would say is, like, you know, so Nick's going to run with an 8-man rotation, and really it's like 7.5, because Terrence Davis is not actually getting, like, long stretches of play, even though I thought today he was pretty good. In 15 minutes, he got 5 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. Pretty active. I love the rebounding. I think that's going to be really beneficial to the team. But it's pretty much a 7.5-man rotation at the moment. Now, granted, maybe Pat McCaw comes back and he's the 9th man. Obviously, Nurse seems to really like McCaw, so, like, there's a real chance for McCaw to get in there. And, of course, you know, you got a guy like Rondae Hollis-Jefferson who was out for tonight's game, and I feel like he can contribute. But, like, I don't know, man. It's just, is this sustainable to run a 7.5-man rotation for a lot of the season? I don't really think so. Like, this is, I don't want to see Nurse sort of copy, like, a D'Antoni style of management. Like, I think you're going to burn your players out, especially if you have older guys like Kyle, who played 45 minutes tonight. Like, is that productive? I don't really think so. So, I mean, I know Nurse doesn't really like the newer guys. Like, it's true. Like, a lot of them aren't sort of ready to contribute and they're sort of liabilities, but I mean, that's part of your job as a coach, right? Like, you got to make, you know, you got to make do with some of these guys. Like, I'm sure if when Nick was back in Birmingham and stuff like that, he would have loved to have Stanley Johnson on this team. And, of course, now this is not Birmingham. We're talking about the Toronto Raptors and the champions here. And it's on Stanley and on those other guys to sort of match the level. But, you know, eventually the Raptors are going to need more from their depth guys. And, I can only really see the 7.5-man rotation working for about a month before something, you know, actually problematic shows up. Because you're just too thin. Like, on a night like tonight where Mark doesn't give you much and, like, Norm doesn't really give you much, like, you're pretty much stuck relying on a couple guys. And if Pascal didn't have a great game, if Fred didn't have a great game, then you're really looking at a very dire situation. So, you know, hopefully one of the bench guys steps up and hopefully, Nurse, takes to their liking. In terms of your three stars from tonight, first star, I'm giving that to Pascal Siakam, 34 points, 18 rebounds, 5 assists. Just an incredible, incredible performance. Second star, I'm giving that to Fred VanVleet, career high 34 points, 12 of 18 shooting, 5 of 7 from deep, 5 of 6 from the free throw line, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals, plus 18 in 44 minutes. Incredibly clutch. I love the look with VanVleet and Kyle in the front starting lineup. Like, the two-point guard lineups have always been a staple of the Raptors' offense. And, quite frankly, Fred is just also much better than Norm. So he should start. That just, it is what it is. And then third star, I'm giving it to Kyle, who had 22 points, 5 rebounds, and 6 assists. But I really, really would like to have him share that with OG Anunoby, who I thought he really gave the Raptors a shot in the arm in terms of his defense. Like, he was the Raptors' best defender tonight. Like, I don't even think it was that close. And, if OG can give you this type of effort every night, the Raptors are going to win a lot of games. So, in terms of the Gerald Henderson Award, that's got to go to Niccolo Melli, who had 14 points in 20 minutes off the bench, 5 of 7 shooting, 4 or 5 from deep, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, plus 11. This man is wet. Like, he is just, like, I don't know. It's a set foot shot, but it's a very accurate shot. Defensively, a little bit suspect. But, it looks like the Pelicans found another Ryan Anderson type. And, Melli, he was really killing it tonight. And, in terms of the Pat Patterson Award, which, by the way, Pat Patterson starting for the Clippers tonight against the Lakers. And he was guarding Anthony Davis and LeBron James. I mean, yikes. Yikes. That's unfortunate to be doing such things in 2019. But the Patrick Patterson Award tonight, I'm giving that to unfortunately, I got to give it to Nikhil Alexander-Walker, who is a Canadian kid. He's from Burlington, although he claims Toronto, like most people from Burlington and the GTA regions. But, we'll just not talk about that. There's been a lot of hype. He's been playing really well in sort of summer league and also in preseason. Tonight, in front of his, home fans, I guess, man was not that good. 1 of 10 from the field in 12 minutes. Was a little bit shot happy. Definitely took a lot of shots. Made a couple of nice plays, but overall, a shaky night from the rookie. But I actually thought it was a real sly move, by the way, by the Raptors to put Nikhil on the Jumbotron and sort of call his name and ask for an ovation from the fans. Of like, oh yeah, hometown kid and stuff like that. It's just like, embrace it, man. Years down the line, when players want to go home like Kawhi, maybe Nikhil wants to go home and come to the Raptors. Who knows? Who knows? So all around, it was a great night. Obviously, the scenes around the championship and things like this were amazing. And, of course, the game itself, not bad. Winning in overtime, it was very fun. In terms of some news and notes for the podcast itself, one, we're actually doing a giveaway. So I have copies of the Raptors championship DVD. I don't have them with me right now. But I have a few copies of the Raptors' official championship DVD to give away, and all I need you to do is rate and subscribe and write a review on iTunes. If you don't use an iPhone, I'm sorry. It sucks, but yeah, in the App Store, in the iTunes App Store, please, give the podcast a rating, write a nice review. And then send a screenshot of that to my email account, which is william@raptorsrepublic.com. And and I'll pick a couple of winners. So, that you just need to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Send a screenshot of that to my email, william@raptorsrepublic.com. And I'll give away a couple of DVDs. But so that's one. Two, the podcast this season will be recorded via webcam or whatever, and we're going to be putting them out on YouTube. You can find those at the Yahoo Sports Canada YouTube page. So if you're one of those people that like to listen to podcasts through YouTube, which apparently is a lot of people, you can check out the podcast there. And then finally, The show is back. The show is back. And it's back, obviously. I'll be recording after every single game. And there's even going to be a new show this year where it's on Friday afternoons starting at 3:30 to 4:30. That's the time we have right now. But every Friday from 3:30 to 4:30, we're going to be doing a call-in show where you can literally call into a number. I don't have the number offhand, but I'll put it out on Twitter soon enough. But yeah, it's going to be a call-in show. It's going to be hosted by me and my buddy Josh. And for an hour, we're going to take Raptors fan calls. And yeah, whatever you want to talk about, we could talk about. So it's going to be an exciting season. Obviously, the Raptors are on pace for 82-0, and I can't wait. Thanks, everyone, for listening and to people for watching. Again, if you want a championship DVD, follow the instructions I listed below. And, yeah, what a start.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics, all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.